This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Theatre, music and just the arts in general has had a pretty rough time of late. But ensembles, theatre groups and musicians have found incredible ways of going digital to create online shows and experiences.
From Broadway to Ballarat and from the MTC to the MSO.
Hello and welcome. I'm Sophie Rao, Concertmaster of the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to tonight's concert.
It was the girl. The girl in the red coat. You're in second year.
First.
If there's one thing the pandemic proved, it's this. We don't mind a lengthy interval, but this one takes the piss. The show must go on. And puppets take flight again. We'll go fly a kite again. The show must go on. And Hamilton rap once more. The Lion King has to roar. The Mormons will spread.
And the shows have been going on, but they have been going on online. And Jono Kendall, can I tell you something slightly embarrassing?
Yeah, go for it.
I cry at live musical theatre, and not sad theatre, just musical theatre in general. There is something about a cast on stage, a dedicated cast on stage, singing the orchestra pit, when it is all there and people stand and cheer, I cry. I can't help myself. I just cry like a baby. I love it.
There is something about it, isn't it? When all of those seemingly disparate parts work together as a whole, it can really evoke some emotions. I understand that. I get that. I mean, I don't think I've ever cried at a live performance per se, but I can understand why you would. It's an emotional thing. And initially when I was thinking about this, online performances, I thought, no, I'm never going to, you know, sit up on my couch with a cheese board and maybe a beverage or whatever and listen to the MSO. But I'm starting to maybe change the way I feel about that. Maybe by the end of the hour I will.
Well, it's looking at whether or not we would pay for online experiences, but also whether this has created an offering now that will just become part and parcel of theatre groups, and not just the MSOs and the MTCs, who of which we'll hear from today, but smaller regional theatres as well. Well, we need to start to think, okay, what's our stage version and what is our online version? And, you know, that even just that little bit of Broadway music at the end there, I did get emotional even listening to that. So maybe I could get that same reaction from an online experience. I don't know.
Yeah. So have you dipped your toe into the theatre or music world in the comfort of your lounge room? And has that experience made you want to go back to the theatre or maybe even go to the theatre for the first time? Or has it, you know, knocked it on the head and said, no, the internet slow was terrible, the internet speed was terrible, couldn't do it, just don't want to ever do that again? Because the other really interesting aspect to this, Rish, is whether you're prepared to pay for an online concert. Because initially things were done, you know, for free. These concerts were done for free, but the big movement now is getting to paid online concerts. And the big question we're asking today is, are online events here to stay?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Father without a father, got a lot for the work in the lot, harder by being a lot, smarter by being
And that show, Hamilton, has changed the way I think about online performances. Because as I said before, I wasn't really an early adopter on this. I didn't really want to go along to an online concert. I thought, you know, you lose 90% of the performance. You don't get to, it's not a shared experience with other people. You lose, you know, a fair bit if it's just online. But we actually subscribed to a streaming service.
Paid.
Just so that we could get to see Hamilton because, you know, it doesn't come to our part of the world really. And I think it has been announced that he's coming to Melbourne, but we would have had to, you know, go to Sydney to see it or overseas. And now through that streaming service, we can view it.
See, that's it. This is interesting. Rochelle is not sad. It's a beautiful thing. I cry too, says this. Thank you. Many people saying, oh my God, Rish, I cry. You are not alone. So I'm feeling very good about that. But Kirsty's in Kilmore and she says the best thing to come out of COVID, it's actually possible now to access performances online, especially living in rural Victoria, because being able to see all of these things, and I would be more than happy to pay as well. This Jenny in Baxter, Rish and Jono, people for poor mobility, online events are fantastic. Now,
yes,
that's a really good point because looking at ability and almost some of the ableism that comes into theatre events has been a huge issue for a long time.
Yeah, and I used to work at the Arts Centre and when I was in uni, and there weren't that many seats for...
I didn't know this about you. You're an usher.
Yeah, I did. Well, not an usher. I used to work in the bars. So,
right.
But I did get to see some fantastic music and performances as part of that.
Let's
have a chat with Graham in Oakley, who's an opera singer. G'day, Graham.
Oh, thank you for the great rap. Look, no, I'm not an opera singer. I sing in the chorus for Melbourne Opera. So
I think we can call you an opera singer.
That makes you an opera singer.
Oh, gosh, I love you guys. So
and you know what? Hats off to the chorus. I was always in the chorus too, you know. And without the chorus, you don't have a show. Graham is all I can say.
Look, yep. I'll give you the boss's name. Can you have a word to it? But look, even though I'm a fabulous singer and everything else, I'm not really here to blow my trumpet. I'm here to tell you that everyone should look up Melbourne Digital Concert Hall. These people, Chris Howlett and Adele Schonhart, straight away when the lockdown started last year, they set this up and they've been letting local artists have the opportunity to live stream their performances and also limited on demand. You buy a digital ticket and you can sit and watch it. And they've raised about $1 million of income for local people, local performers, most of whom are on the bones of their backsides because they've lost their teaching and their performing opportunities. And the owners of the Athenaeum Theatre, Greg Hocking and his mates, have let them use that as a venue for free. And it's just... there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a fabulous story. So everybody who's listening, get on your computer, just Google MDCH and go for your life and make sure you watch Melbourne Opera's Macbeth if it's still on. And one of the little grey dots up the back is me.
Graham, do you lose some of that, some of the fun, some of the experience in an online performance?
Well, obviously, it's better being in the theatre.
Yes.
But, you know, you can. It's a whole lot better than not seeing anything at all. So,
true.
We actually did live stream, not live stream, but we watched the show I was in, and I enjoyed it immensely. And my wife did, and a few of my friends did. So, yeah, get on there and support the local artists.
Good on you, Graham. Wonderful to hear from you. Lisa's in Sandringham. Hi, Lisa.
Oh, hello. I wanted to talk about how online offerings are really good for disabled people.
This is huge, isn't it? And this is a bit of a silver lining out of COVID because, as we just mentioned earlier, looking at making sure that theatre or theatre experiences are possible for everybody, no matter where you're at in terms of ableism, that we've still got a long way to go, don't we?
Well, that's right. I'm not disabled myself, but I read Carly Findlay's Growing Up Disabled in Australia, and I saw in that something that struck a chord with me because one of the people said that COVID had meant that she was able to attend a literary festival for the first time ever. And I've been to a lot of literary festivals. That's my thing. Last year, I went to the Edinburgh Literary Festival, the Auckland one, the Perth one, the Adelaide one, something in New South Wales, I forget which, the Yarra Valley's inaugural literary festival, and I went to all of those and paid for all of them because I could. And it made me realise that for disabled people, you know, especially the smaller regional festivals, their venues are not always wheelchair accessible, and sometimes it's another reason why you just can't get out and about. That's not wheelchair related, but just difficult.
It's a very important point to make, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa, making that point that online festivals are great for people with a disability. Cheryl is in Kew East. Morning, Cheryl.
Hi, Jonathan. Hi, Rish. Totally agree with the last caller, but it's even broader than that. Like, I really suffer from the cold. I have Raynaud's syndrome. So in winter, in particular, I reckon it's a great option.
Yes.
Last year I did heaps of the Melbourne International Film Festival and the Writers' Festival, and because I could do it in the comfort of my own home, I broadened the things that that I attended, inverted commas, in that you know they mightn't have been the top of the list, but I thought,
I'll do it anyway.
For $13 and I can do it at home, yep.
I like that you said that I attended in inverted commas, because that's a really interesting thing to think about, whether you're attending an event or not. Anna says, Jono, on text, the MTC Digital has been wonderful. I live in regional Victoria. I'm so grateful to be able to enjoy the theatre from home. I've been going to one or two shows in the city. It's such a loved experience, but being able to access more shows without having to travel is such a treat. Well, Anna, you're in for a treat, because we'll actually be speaking to one of the co-directors of the MTC, and they're really looking at broadening this out so that it does become more accessible. And this is something that Rob Robson is really passionate about, may also have the best name going around. He's from the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre. He's the manager of arts, culture and events for the Baw Baw Shire. Rob, you guys have been working really hard at almost creating a hybrid calendar.
We certainly have. And, during the close down towards the end of last year, we, along with a number of our colleagues in other venues across Victoria, hosted local artists, local musicians mainly, doing concerts. We called them our ghost light concerts, because they performed literally in front of the empty auditorium. But that was a great way of highlighting local talent. We had some wonderful Gippsland-based artists who performed during that series. And I know my colleagues up in Shepparton did similar things, and over in Warrnambool, in Ballarat, and it was a great thing. Geelong had a fantastic program running of productions that they were creating. And then into this year, working with Regional Arts Victoria, we've created a suite of online versions of the live shows that are touring. And to a degree, they were created as a kind of an insurance policy, a fallback, but they've also emerged as a great adjunct to the live show. So we hosted Damien Callanan recently with his performance of The Merger. Now, one of the things that came out of that was he had a digital version of the show available. The Merger's on the VCE platform this year for students in theatre studies and drama, I think it is, and those students were able to watch the show again. They came to the show, saw it live, but were able to watch it again back in the classroom. What an amazing extra tool that provided for them.
Yeah, which is great. But how prepared are people to pay for online performances?
That's one of the challenges that we're really facing. And because so much, you know, I've watched shows from, you know, the Globe Theatre in London and from Broadway. And yes, we haven't paid. And I think that's a gradual change that we're going to have to undergo, where there is a ticket price to it. And there's an exclusivity to it. You can't just, you know, tap into YouTube later and find it for yourself. It has to actually be, you know, by some kind of digital sign-in code that gives you an exclusive right to access it.
It's all well and good to talk about the MTC or the MSO and even the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre, because that's a big, beautiful space that you have there. But what about the small venues, the small halls and the ones that are the lifeblood of a lot of towns and really give a lot of performances? You know, it gets them match fit and they can test new ideas and they can put on incredible shows. Is it going to work for groups? groups like that?
It's going to be very hard because the technology that's involved, the equipment that's involved to produce, it's quite complicated if you want to get a high quality production. And I have to say, producing work, you know, in order for to go on a digital platform is quite different to simply staging the show. You don't just park a camera out the front in one of the seats and let it run. There has to be, you know, it produces it. It's a different artifact that you create in creating a film of a production. In a sense, what you do is you create a film of a performance of a performance. It's a little bit more layered. So yeah, absolutely. On the other hand, iPhones and so on and platforms like Facebook actually make it very easy to live stream anything from anywhere. So if you're not so concerned about the final product as a film or as an art form, but you just want to give people an opportunity to engage in a live experience, it can be done very simply.
Although I was talking about the production of Hamilton that is able to be streamed at the moment. I mean, you're never going to... I saw the other day that the local theatre company is going to put on The Importance of Being Earnest later this year at the Warragul Arts Centre. You're never going to get the same production values that you would for Hamilton with The Importance of Being Earnest at Warragul, are you?
No, nor do people expect that. And, you know, the budget's slightly different. So, but you still get the engagement of person to person with a live performance. And if that's one step removed because it's a digital experience of that live performance, it's still real. There's no holograms involved. It's real people doing stuff in real time. I often use the analogy of sport where having a live telecast of an AFL game doesn't stop people attending live, but it adds a layer of experience. So people who can't make the game this week can still engage with the game or watch it on replay. And each one of those experiences is a little bit different, but it's still an engagement with a real thing.
Just to let you know, the Acting Premier James Molino will provide a COVID update for you alongside Brett Sutton as well at around 11:40. Rob Robson is with you. He's the Manager of Arts, Culture and Events at the Bor Bor Shire, runs the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre. But let's bring Virginia Lovett into this. She's the co-CEO of the Melbourne Theatre Company. A lot of love, Virginia, coming in on text line for you about the MTC's online offerings that you have and how people think that it's fabulous, it's accessible and that it's affordable. Did you ever imagine that you'd be offering something like this?
Look, we did, Rochelle. We just accelerated it because of COVID and we're so happy that we have. But we've always had this as one of our key goals is to provide obviously world-class theatre on a digital platform to obviously make it more accessible and demystify theatre and also to attract new audiences. And we've seen that research overseas that, you know, by demystifying the product and reaching out to particularly audiences that can't usually visit Melbourne, such as in regional or interstate, it does actually increase the live performance attendance. So we always wanted to do it. We always wanted to do it particularly for schools as well. And, you know, we understand that, you know, schools are disadvantaged by distance and cost. And they're also, we want to help the under-resourced and time-poor teachers to inspire their students to really experience what we take for granted sometimes here in Melbourne.
But Rob was saying before, it's not an either-or proposition, that you really need to kind of offer both. You need an online offering as well as an in-theatre performance. Do you agree with that?
Look, I do. I think the live performance, you'll never what we try to do is recreate the theatre experience as much as possible. We are filming this with four cameras, so you will have the best seat in the house on the couch. But I think you still have to have that live performance element that people can experience. And I think it runs in parallel and it complements. And it also, as I said, demystifies, particularly for young people. It's a bit the old Jesuits, give me the child at seven and I'll have them forever. We hope it will start many people who haven't had the access to the live on a lifelong journey of learning and arts and creative, you know, industries that they may want to look at as a career option. And also, I think, you know, looking at all the fabulous regional venues we have around the state is how do we actually help train and you know, get the next generation of technicians and lighting designers and sound designers that may want to stay in their regions and work for that performing arts centre.
Reaching out to schools has always been such a big part of theatre, whether it be touring groups that go to schools, whether it be, you know, venues like the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre putting on performances specifically for schools, of which Rob Robson, I have to say, I was a part of. I did a version or a production of Romeo and Juliet. And can I say...
Really? Were you Juliet?
No, I was just like in the ensemble, you know. That's why before I said the chorus is really important.
Right. Okay. Right.
But they're the toughest audience you'll ever work to. You know, you might have a sandwich thrown to you on stage and kids are doing all sorts of things. Rob, I'll put to you first, is creating an online version based within the theatre, but for schools, is that something that could work and maybe, you know, save an actor or two?
absolutely right, because what you can do is you can provide context. As I said, you can create the work itself, but you can also give people the insight into the background, into the how stuff was made, backstage tours, all that sort of stuff, which adds that, which Virginia said about demystifying. And so it's an amazing add-on to the whole experience, and that digital capacity just opens that up massively. But I disagree with you about the behaviour of young people in theatres.
I was a
teacher for many, many years, and my experience was young people were enormously respectful.
Might have something to do with my performance, Rob.
It could have been.
Speaking about your teaching days, we just got a text saying, oh, Robbo, remember him as an amazing drama teacher from Wanganui Park Secondary College in Shepparton back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, that was me. I was that guy.
I think, you know, young people get digital theatre. They've grown up with online delivery of content. You know,
that's, absolutely.
You know, they engage with it every day. So, and, you know, digital theatre, you know, puts particularly our productions in this creative world. And as Rob was saying, you know, we've sort of wrapped particularly our latest production of Berlin with a VR tour of the set, you know, interviews with, you know, all the creative team. So it does sort of open up that world of, you don't have to be an actor to actually enjoy a career in the creative arts. There's going to be so much other opportunity, and I think that helps obviously schools. It also, you know, it's not just schools and disadvantaged by distance and cost. It's also, we've got to remember there are thousands of Australians who are isolated for other means, social factors, mental health, and they can access, you know, this amazing sort of, you know, theatre and storytelling through a digital component now, and hopefully one day they'd get to see the live. But, you know, it's a very different offering, but we try to recreate it as much as we can in the digital platform.
Just finally, Virginia, and I know you must be busy because obviously you can actually have performers treading the stage this evening. Is this something...
No, not tonight.
Oh, not
no,
tonight.
No.
When are you able to get up and running again?
Well, fingers crossed for next week, but we're still cancelled,
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Do you think that digital performances will now forever be a part of what you need to plan into your performances? Will it, even once COVID, hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, is behind us to a certain degree, will it, digital now be a part of it?
Yes, I think it will, Rochelle. We're planning to do at least one or two a year, because I think it actually, because it reaches people who are disadvantaged by distance and cost or interstate or other factors, also different life stages. Obviously, if you've been a subscriber of MTC for years but you're a bit nervous about coming into the theatre, or you're getting too old to, or whatever, this can actually still keep you connected with an art form you love.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that strongly. And I think the other part of this is we need to be looking to government for assistance, because this doesn't happen without there being a cost, but the benefit is massive. And I think there's some very important funding decisions to be made in regards to this as well.
Look, thank you both for having a chat with us this morning. Rob Robson from the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre and Virginia Lovett from the Melbourne Theatre Company, speaking about online performances and whether you would go and see one, or whether you would experience one, whether you'd be prepared to pay for one, and are online events here to stay?
Joe's in Ashburton. Joe, welcome.
Oh, yes. Well, look, my experience has been excellent with online performers, and I use them frequently. Everybody should go and watch the MTC production of Berlin. It's sensational.
Yeah, so, we've had a few people saying that it was really, really good and loved it online.
And I, in terms of Melbourne Digital Concert Hall, yes, I probably watch one show every week on that, you know, and then you're spoiled for choice. So I'd go for that. And also people should be aware that if you go to the Palace Cinema, this is a more big budget stuff, the Palace Cinema has opera, movies of operas, which are recent streams from La Scala or the Paris Opera or the Met, and they're excellent too. So if you really, recently went to see Rigoletto from the Rome Opera, and I mean anybody who's in opera should find this, because to me this sets the benchmark of a digital production. It's beyond belief.
Oh, that's good to know. All right, Joe, I'm going to check that out. And you're so right. It means we can access theatre from all around the world. Residential care homes would benefit from theatre online, says Marg in Mount Waverley. And Alice in Richmond says newborn parents' online access would be incredible. We could go to the movies, the theatre, festivals, attend training. This all should be permanent.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Would you pay for online events, a theatre experience? Jono, is this something now that is just going to be a part of our lives? You know what I find incredible is that people are subscribing to theatre all around the world at the moment. London's National Theatre Live Online. It's wonderful, says this text. Actors and productions that you would never normally see in Australia. It's much better than you would think, and it's much better than those cheap seats that I could normally. That's such a good point. Normally you're up at the top where you get vertigo. You know, that's all you can afford.
Yes, and speaking of good points, Alice in Richmond has made one. She says, newborn parents, online access was a mental health saviour last year. We got to see movies, theatre, literary festivals, attend training. It should be permanent, says Alice. And I think from what we're hearing this morning, it sounds like it absolutely will be. Lou in Ballarat says, my daughter did year 12 last year and loves dance. When her studio was closed last year, she did classes online in the UK. Pros from the shows was doing those classes, gave her something to look forward to of an evening and got her through year 12. So some people saying just how important this is.
But how accessible is it? Another says online events, great. NBN, not great.
Yes.
Sophie Lampel is the co-artistic director of the Essential Theatre Company, which is a theatre company that travels around a lot. It specialises in Shakespeare. Sophie, is this something that, as a small ensemble, that you've been able to consider? Is it accessible to everyone?
I don't think it is accessible to everyone, because I do believe, you know, you do need to spend money to go live, particularly online with theatre. It's not as simple as just pop one camera up and then you've got the same sort of experience. Like, we tour outdoors to up to 400 people. So last year we did consider what would look like if we couldn't do our tour. So we did go through the process of imagining, you know, could we film a Shakespeare production? Could we edit that? Could we send that out to our loyal audiences? But it always came back to, for what we do is about that audience experience, you know, all being in the same location and enjoying the play. And the cost for us would have just been through the roof to do it well.
Yeah, sorry, Sophie. So how much exactly would it cost to put together an online
Hang
performance?
Hang on, these theatre groups run off the smell of an oily rag.
Yes. So we run off. I couldn't say exactly, but when you think about your camera setup, you know, you're having someone to film it, you know, looking through the camera, not just a theatre director, someone who's got the capacity to sort of capture the right angles, three or four or five cameras, microphones. You need to be able to capture the sound, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, the post-production editing. So more than it costs us to actually put our show on, just to rehearse it for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and then get on the road. Just not achievable for an independent theatre company, but certainly really impressive what I have seen online over the last 12 months with some of the major theatre companies and those that have managed to do it. I think it's incredible. But you can tell it's not straight theatre. You are then filming it like film.
And could it work against you, Sophie, if you don't have the resources and you can't make it look like Hamilton, not that everybody expects it to, but if someone hasn't gone and seen one of the Essential Theatre Company's performances, and then if your online version is kind of a little bit, you know, not quite up to scratch, can people then say, well, there's no way I'm going to go and see them on stage?
I absolutely agree with that. And I think Shakespeare particularly, you know, it is that heightened language. For me, when it's outdoors, it's got that beautiful feeling like being at the Globe Theatre. But I also saw the National Theatre's version of A Midsummer Night's Dream because they had filmed it and showed that online. And it was extraordinary, but you could tell it was a top-class production and filmed like that. But, yeah, I think it can go badly. I've seen some interesting things. I certainly watched a lot during last year. I got a little bit over online content for a little while there. I felt like it was a bit much considering we were all working online as well, just in terms of trying to survive. But I saw some great stuff and I saw some things that didn't work, but I was really impressed with people trying to do it. And it was usually the independent sector that it was obviously not quite as strong simply because of funding, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that's the elephant in the room here too as well, Sophie, I reckon. I get to the end of the day and I just cannot be bothered putting it on another headset or a set of cans or whatever and tuning into something. I just want to zone out. I just want to relax. So do you think sometimes it'll be a bit hard to convince people to do that?
I think so too. And I guess it's individual. I think, you know, those of us that, you know, spend a lot of time in front of the computer when we're working outside of, you know, just not working, then maybe that is the, you know, it is too hard to sit down and watch something. But then you're listening to the radio, the response is phenomenal and people are loving it. So it just comes down to your mood. I found myself when I was trying to watch some things, the focus wasn't there. Like when you go to the theatre, you sit down and, you know, there you are for an hour and a half, 2 hours and you're watching something. But I was sitting at the computer watching and then I would get distracted and I would just quickly go and wash a cup or something and then come back into the room.
You're like me. I'm the sort of person that leaves the room and starts to vacuum halfway through a film and drives everyone nuts.
The annoying thing is if one of the kids starts crying in their bed and then you have to stop the performance and then go and settle the kid and come back to the performance and you're all grumpy. So
absolutely. But, you know, last year with online stuff, my theatre company, we ended up getting funding to create something new, which was going to be in person at the Geelong Arts Centre, which we couldn't do. Then we ended up doing it via Zoom. And the project has come to fruition, and that was all done online. So, you know, I'm totally supportive of it being here forever. And we've just got to work out a way to sort of, you know, balance it and enjoy it. As well as say no sometimes.
Who would have thought? And full disclosure, I met Sophie many, many years ago at the West Gippsland Performing Arts Centre. So who would have thought that all these decades on, Soph, that they would be creating digital content? It's come a long way from the stuff that we used to do.
Oh,
let's not even go there, mate. Let's not even go there.
There's nothing online, thankfully.
Yeah, that's it. Thank God it hasn't been captured. Sophie, thanks so much. We wish you all the best.
My pleasure. Thanks. Bye.
Sophie Lampell, the co-artistic director of the Essential Theatre Company. Well, one incredibly large and influential group here in Melbourne that has really adopted and taken online right from the beginning is the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. Benjamin Northey is the conductor there at the MSO. Benjamin, the online presence that you guys have had right from the beginning has been huge.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, Rochelle. Hello, Jono. It was a big decision to sort of pivot immediately online. And I remember even in the middle of March last year, we live streamed a concert basically that was scheduled to be performed in the Melbourne Town Hall, and we immediately just pivoted and live streamed and, you know, got people in to set all of that up, and we've been learning ever since.
Yeah, but see, the MSO, I don't know whether I would want to sit down and listen to the MSO on an online concert because my speakers aren't fantastic. I'm not sure about my internet connection. Did you come across a lot of those, you know, complaints or thoughts?
Yeah, not so much. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, you think the comparison between listening to an orchestra in a concert hall and actually watching something on your phone. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous, but if people are wearing headphones, the audio quality can be very good. I know all of this stuff, and I know you've talked about this already, but it depends on your internet connection and the quality of the technology at home. But, you know, it was interesting. I was sort of looking through Creative Victoria run an audience outlook monitor, which tracks the attitudes and behaviours of audiences. And there's actually a really big demand for digital content. And clearly Victoria's in a unique situation after last year. We've got the most engaged audiences online. So people don't seem to mind so much. But having said that, I do think it's still an evolving art form. And I think there's a lot more potential than even, you know, we currently know about.
Ben Northey, are people happy to pay? Are they happy to subscribe? Where are they at there?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think most people have interacted with some kind of cultural event online since, you know, COVID hit last year. We've had all of these lockdowns. I think about 30% of those have paid for that experience, which is pretty good. And, you know, it's actually a lot cheaper than buying a ticket to go in to see a live concert. So for people who might not be able to get into the city or have, you know, any kind of accessibility issues, feeling, you know, unsure about going out, it's actually a very, very economically viable option for them as well. And I suppose it's got a philanthropic element to it. It's sort of a way of, you know, short of just giving a donation to your sort of favourite arts organisation, it's a way to support the arts community through buying a ticket even though you're unable to go.
Yeah, look, thank you. And just hang on the line there. Abby is in Williamstown. Morning, Abby.
Morning, guys. I am an avid actor in my spare time for fun and the love of it. But my day job is in professional video as a director and producer. And
oh, that's a nice combo to have, Abby.
Yeah, well, you know, a professional actor till I had kids and then had to have something a little bit more reliable. But anyway, but I just thought from the perspective of the last caller, she's right. Small theatre companies haven't got the money. I mean, they're often really scraping to survive anyway, but to really properly film a production is tens of thousands of dollars at least. You know, you've got the National Theatre, there's 6 to 8 cameras filming that stuff. So I think she's right in that if you can't do it well, it kind of can harm the brand a little bit. But having said that, I'm really hopeful now we've had COVID and people are changing their thinking, that funding models might change and actually putting some money towards, particularly for education and kids in remote areas, they don't have the money or the access to come to Melbourne Theatre Company, to come to these productions, have them film properly, and it's access to everybody, you know?
Yeah, access to everybody, and I think that's something fantastic that's come out of it. Benjamin Northey, it's been wonderful to see the work that you're doing and how engaged people are, and if anything good has to come out of this is that it's now given more people, whether it be due to ability or whether it be due to where they live, access to incredible performances like the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. So thanks so much for joining us.
No worries at all.
If you've missed some of the conversation today, or you've been listening and thinking, oh, look, I know someone who really should listen to this, you can get this on podcast. The Conversation Hour is available wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.
And you can always email us as well if you have a person or an idea that you'd like to share with us. Our email address, conversationhour@abc.net.au. Till we speak to you next time, take care and speak soon.